Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Fair on the outside. Currently 82 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Southwest winds at 10 miles per hour. Patchy fog late overnight with a low this evening of about 65 degrees. Coming up at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered from NPR News. We're going to begin this hour by going into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Patricia Drury-Sidman and Alicia Chasson. Alicia is a teacher in the Talented program here in Lafayette Parish and is also quite involved in the theater community, primarily as a director in our community. Patricia is an actor, storyteller, author, playwright, and life coach. So you have a lot of hats and a lot of talents, obviously. You are a part of the Acadiana Center for the Arts residency program.
Right.
And this piece that we'll be talking about today, Still Life, is a part of what the residency program allows artists like yourself to do. And the full title, actually, because it'll give us, we're going to be talking a lot about that, Still Life, Women of the Bold New Old with Tales to Tell. That's a great rhyming and alliteration in that title there. So can you tell us just a bit about the residency program before we go on to talk about what you've created with it?
Sure. The Acadiana Center for the Arts started the program 3 or 4 years ago. And each year, they provide support to one or two local artists to create new original work, sometimes visual arts, dance, theater, music, all the arts. But they'll have one or two residencies a year. And I'm one of two residents this year. I'm the second one to offer a performance this year.
Well, and it gives all of us an opportunity to see incredibly creative work that might not otherwise find a venue for performance, that it might, we all know how crowded the venues are here in our community, and that takes a long process sometimes, and this really allows you the time to create something, the space, and their marketing people help out.
Right, and they have money for a little stipend to allow for the expenses, but they handle publicity, and so there's a tremendous amount of support, both financial and technical.
That's a great program. So you created this piece, but it had been, you'd been thinking about it for a while, hadn't you? This didn't just pop out overnight when someone said, hey, why don't you do the residency program? This topic, this piece was born out of all of the skills that I just mentioned, your work as a life coach, your work as a storyteller, and all of the others. So how did you come up with the idea for this piece?
Well, first, go back a little bit. I moved here 6 years ago from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I had been a storyteller on stage there, and I had studied storytelling there and working with autobiographical material, not folk tales or cultural stories, but personal stories. And I hadn't really done much of that here. And, you know, as a couple of years ago, I started thinking, I want to do that again. That was fun. And I didn't at first think of the residency program, and there was just one night when it all came together. I went to a dance resident performance, and something else was on my mind, and it was at a time when the theater community here didn't have any roles for women my age, and all of those things just went click, click, click that evening. And I thought, well, why not? Why not just see if I can apply for this, and if I get it, write some things that are the kinds of things I want to do on stage, and maybe some other actors my age would also want to do.
And what you just mentioned there about there not being any roles for women your age, we could probably talk for an entire hour about that
several
subject.
Hours.
Absolutely.
I just mentioned I had just finished reading an article in a magazine about that. It was a review of Feud, which has two famous actresses in it, but talks a lot about the problem of 50, 60, and no longer finding roles that you would want to do. You mentioned that you played a grandmother, and it was a very brief role.
Just a couple lines, and you know, just kind of sit there and smile sweetly in the back upstage, and you know, that's fun as far as it goes, but once is enough.
And you've been honing your skills and your interest in theater for so many years, and that was not something that you wanted to let go of.
Right, right.
So what is the attraction to you about presenting stories on stage, and again, not something somebody else has written, but stories that come from other people's lives, your life. What do you like about that?
Well, I have, I think, forever loved story as a medium, either told or written, because I think it's at the heart of humanity. That's one of the things I've said in writing, that humans started out sitting around fires and telling each other about their experiences, and that's how culture got developed, and that's how communities bonded, and that's how one generation transmitted values to the next generation. And it's been like that as long as there have been humans. For all I know, the pre-humans did it too. But I've always seen that as such a primary art form. And then in the Twin Cities, I started working with an actress who was actually had won national awards and who specialized in using story as an art form. She did this in prisons. She did it in various settings, as well as working with on stage for audiences with her own material and teaching others to do that. And I just found that so rich, and came to understand that telling a personal story in that's small makes it universal. Everybody can recognize their own experiences in someone else's story. So it is a way of connecting and communicating that's, to my mind, even more powerful than regular drama or comedy theater.
And it's like you're getting really close to that core of what creates stories of all kinds, whether it's in plays or fiction novels. But it telling somebody's actual story feels very real, and like you're really close to the heart. And that certainly is something a lot of people enjoy now. We have reality television. We have people doing not just stand-up comedy, but stand-up storytelling. It's, you know, presenting that because we're hungry for it, and maybe because we don't sit around campfires and do that enough these days.
Well, we do, but only about three people get to hear it.
Right. So, but now you presented a collection of stories before this piece in Lafayette, didn't you? You've done some storytelling on stage a little bit.
One show. Back 5 years ago.
Okay. And what was that about? What sorts of stories did you collect for that?
Well, that was one that I wrote and did with my late husband. We had met online, and so I did a satire on internet dating over the age of 50, which is inherently hysterically funny.
It really was.
So that was called Sex, Lies, and Social Security.
Great title also.
We performed that in the Twin Cities, and we performed it down here. And subsequently, he and I got married, and I moved here.
That was very effective, that piece. Yeah. What were people's responses to that?
Well, we sold out every performance here.
Obviously, we were touching something that's out there.
Well, and people were curious about me, too. But but it was we had good response in the Twin Cities as well. Yeah, it's when you, as I said, when you tell a story, when a good story is told, and I fancy myself to be able to do that, people recognize themselves, and people love to see themselves reflected back and understand that their experiences are not unlike other people's, and it's a vehicle for laughing at yourself, which is one of the healthiest things anybody can do.
Now, you're not doing this as a solo performer
or
even as a duo. You've incorporated quite a number of very talented women from our community, including Alicia, but she's directing this because the most fascinating thing about this is all of your actors are over the age of 60, all of the actresses.
Right, and they're all women.
And they're all women. So how did this begin to coalesce? How did this story begin to coalesce? And it's not one single story. It's not like it doesn't have a beginning, end, and...
No, in fact, this is 14 different pieces. And, I mean, there's some thematic cohesion, but not much. It's different pieces that paint a picture.
Okay, so what is the thematic cohesion? What did you know when you started gathering these stories? What were you hoping to convey?
The experience of being a woman in my generation, which is the baby boomer generation. And there are stories about what came before us. What was the world like when we entered it? What are the big events, how we experienced the big events during our lifetime that shaped us? It's been interesting. Some younger people who've heard it or read it are saying, I didn't know that happened. And, well, that's exactly the point. because, yeah, you get a certain amount in a history class or a social studies class, but the experience is something else. And it explains a lot more. And then some pieces about what it is to be our age now in this world. And a couple pieces about what we see coming or what we hope we see coming.
Mm-hmm. So how did you go about collecting these pieces? It's a really interesting mix of how you've put these stories together.
Yeah.
Some have to do with the women who are acting. Some are not connected with them at all.
Right.
How did you gather them?
Well, my proposal to ACA, I didn't go in with a story idea. Mm-hmm. I said I went in with a proposal for a process. And I interviewed about 20 women, maybe a little over 20, from various sectors. All kinds of people put me in touch with people they knew. Six of them are my actors, but there's twice that many more. And I interviewed them with a series of questions that kind of pointed at all those things I just mentioned. And then I pulled elements that showed up more than once and created stories out of it. Mm-hmm. A couple of times I told somebody's individual story, and I got permission to do that for the most part. and sometimes I took an element here and an element there and an element there and created my own story that wove them together that probably never happened exactly that way. See, that's the thing about stories. You can embellish, too.
Well, what elements began showing up? What were some of the patterns? And it's not like giving away a plot or anything, what were the things you kept hearing?
There's a whole series. Well, I asked everybody, what do you value more now than you did when you were younger? And what do you value less than you did when you were younger? And I got very consistent patterns out of that. So I wrote a piece about this is what I'm done with, and this is what I want more of. And we have everybody participating in that. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of complaints about bodies because, of course, bodies are the hardest part about aging. I mean, everything gets better except the body. And it gets a little achy, to say the least. And so I heard a lot of that. So I've got a piece that's just funny about all the things that people complained about. They all complained about the exact same things. And I knew them personally because, of course, they are it. and then there were different people mentioned different turning points in their life or things that made them realize they were no longer young or gateways to a whole new way of looking at life. So I pulled a bunch of those and spun stories out of them. And again, sometimes went back to the person and used their story and sometimes just created one with different elements.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the women who were drawn to be a part of this production. Did they audition? Did you choose them?
I chose them.
You chose them. All right. Well, can we hear their names?
Yeah, I'm just jotting down here to make sure I've got them all.
See the picture of their faces?
Yes, please. the people who are in it are Amanda Newberry, Maureen Brennan, Laura Bloom, Pat Cravens, Sally Hamana, Carmen Nicholson, and me. These were mostly people I knew, but not all. Mm-hmm. They were also some just recommended to me. And when I went to start my proposal, ACA suggested that I come in with a proposal with collaborators. So it seemed to me the best thing was to find collaborators who could also who would understand exactly what I was doing and be willing to perform in it. So I just started contacting the women I knew. These are all the people I used to compete with for the same part. And sometimes they got it and sometimes I got it. But
and now you all have it.
And now we all have a part in this. And I should say that every single person I asked immediately said yes, because it sounded like something rich to do.
Right.
And they're all still in there. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't have quite enough. And so other people were recommended. And now we've got seven of us.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn to your director, who definitely is not in that age group.
Correct.
Not a baby boomer at all,
even. No.
Not at all. Alicia Chasson, again, who teaches in the Talented program here in Lafayette Parish. Do you teach theater, drama?
I do, yes.
You do. Mm-hmm. So you're going from teaching very young people during the day to directing this play, which is a collection of stories, very artfully put together, collected by Patricia Sidman.
Mm-hmm.
What you mentioned already that you've seen one of her earlier productions and you were very taken by that.
Yes.
What is it about her storytelling that you like?
Well, there's definitely there's an honesty in the simplicity without trying to add all these things to it. It is just saying this is what actually happened, or how I feel about what actually happened, which is often what we do when we retell those stories. But because, especially because Patricia comes at it from a very particular angle, and this idea of the age that she is and the people that are around her, that they have a lot of, even more than like the wisdom that we think of that we come get from our elders. Beyond that, it's just like that they have life experiences that, yes, we may learn about the Vietnam War, but we're not getting the personal experience of having to live in that world. Mm-hmm. And that has taken on a whole different meaning to me just by like there's a piece about the lottery, and I knew there was a lottery for the draft, but I didn't know how it all happened, and you will find out when you come see the show.
So there's some historical things that are really fascinating in these stories as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it also has been really interesting to me as I'm 33 but a mother, and so I'm in this like this place in my life, and it's been very interesting to be around these seven women and know like that is the direction that I'm going, and I'm very happy about that.
Seeing their example.
Yes, they've made me feel very comfortable with that prospect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we would start rehearsal much later than we anticipated because we just got to talking and listening to each other. But I felt like that was a really important part of the process for this story, is that everybody needed to trust each other and feel like that they could share, when every time we would read a piece, immediately everyone would be like, well, this is what happened with me, and this is how I felt about that, and I knew somebody who did this. And it just instantly caused this conversation that I think that anybody from any age group will have those same conversations and questions and curiosities after they leave the show.
Mm-hmm. So how have you, I mean, again, you're directing women who are twice your age. Mm-hmm. And a director doesn't have to have experienced everything about the people he or she is directing. That would be impossible. But this is a very clear demarcation mm-hmm. here. So how have you approached this? Obviously, you're listening. Mm-hmm. You're listening to them. But how do you direct a play like this? First of all, it's stories. It's not lines that are prepared as a classic play mm-hmm. might be.
But there are lines.
Right.
It's not just
not
all
improv.
Right off the top.
It's not improv. How did you prepare yourself, or how has this process shaped you as a director for this particular piece?
Well, actually, the thing that is most interesting about this piece is directing someone else's original work. Because my training is primarily in original work. That's what I did when I went to college at NYU, and then that's what I did in a professional theater company in New York. And so I really feel at home there. Mm-hmm. But this is actually the first time I've directed someone else's original work, and so it's been very interesting to change. I knew I had to go in thinking like, when you direct a play that is produced, the director has – you decide everything, and you listen, but you make the decisions. And here, that is Patricia, is that she gets the final say, and she listens to me 99% of the time and agrees with me 99% of the time. And then on that 1%, I'm just like, yes, we'll make it work, because that's what's important to her. And so my job as a director for original work and for any other play is the same, which is to try to – shape it in such a way that the audience gets the most possible out of it. So one of my jobs is to make sure that we don't add too much to the storytelling to take away from the actual words, because that's the primary vehicle for this art form. But we want to also supplement in places where it feels like support would be useful or helpful or add to the comedy. So it's about finding that fine line to support it without distraction. And I think that we've done that pretty successfully.
We do have imagery as well as part of this. So there's some projected imagery going on. It sort of illustrates the stories, but also adds dimension to mm-hmm, them. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's mood, and sometimes it's actual historic footage and, that kind of thing.
Well, just listening to the two of you talk, I'm just thinking about how much discernment is involved mm-hmm. in your job as a director. And that's fascinating to me, what you're saying about, because those discussions beforehand, you could be tempted to add a lot in there. You could be
Absolutely.
Tempted to add on to these stories and want to get everything out there. Mm-hmm. But the pruning is necessary so that the audience actually does get what you, Patricia, want them to. Mm-hmm. So what happens in that interplay with Alicia when you're trying to decide? Because it seems like there's been an organic process here as well from mm-hmm. the beginning until the end.
Yes.
So how has working with Alicia helped shape your vision of these stories and what you're trying to convey?
Well, what Alicia brings to the party is she can see what it will look like on stage. Yeah. I know what the words sound like. Mm-hmm. I know what the mm-hmm. feeling content is. Mm-hmm. I'm not as good at visualizing how to put it on the stage. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take me long to start trusting her judgment.
That 99% you're allowing her.
I just said, here, yeah, oh, great. Yeah. Plus, she thought of ways to do this that would make it more interesting that I wouldn't have thought of.
Right.
So we have some staging ideas that, you know, I would have put everybody at a mic and it would have been boring as dirt, but she's got a lot of other ideas that have made it much more interesting visually. And I also figured out early on that she got it, what I was trying to do. So then anytime she'd make a suggestion, I'd assess, does it advance what I was hoping for? And more than 99% of the time, mm-hmm. it did.
And because this is really much more complex performance than what you were describing when you and Bob did a piece together, because the two of you and you're talking, but having so many women on stage and so many different stories, there could be kind of a babble that happens without the key lines and the key emotions really mm-hmm. In relief. So very interesting process.
Well, the other thing Alicia's done is help people add dimension to the words. Even when they're telling their own story, which a couple times does happen, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they still needed guidance on what to emphasize, how to make it come across. And she's been very helpful to everybody. I mean, I get comments from the other actors all the time right. about how much help her comments are.
Well, and I would assume that many of them are used to a more traditional play where they are learning lines rather than telling an entire story. And that would be quite different, the emphasis that they need to know.
Yeah, and one of the things is that in the storytelling style is that it's very easy to get into like a public speaking pattern.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we're like da-da-da-da-da-da. Da 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 da, and then but you can't
it's
do
not conversation.
But you can't do that for 75 minutes. You'll lose the audience so fast.
Right.
So it's just about pointing out those habits that we have naturally, and remembering like how do you tell a story to your friend, mm-hmm. rather than how do you stand in front of a group of people and tell a story. Mm-hmm. And so every effort has been to make it feel much more intimate than the space actually is.
Right. It's not an elocution class.
Correct.
No, and it's definitely not a lecture. And one of the things I keep saying, too, is these are not your grandmother's stories. This is not going to be boring.
Right.
Agreed.
Well, I want to remind people who may just be tuning in, we're talking about a really fascinating creative original project that is a part of the ACA's residency program. The creator of the performance is my guest, Patricia Drury-Sidman, and the director is Alicia Chasson, who is a talented teacher in the Lafayette Parish Schools. This will, again, is a part of the program that Patricia was describing that helps local artists do original work, and they help them with space and a few other things that really make it possible for these things to happen, for all of us to enjoy the talent that is in our community. So talk about some of the actresses who are in this play. What has their experience been like? Some of them are telling their own stories. Some of them are telling stories from women.
They're all telling somebody else's story, as well as their own, maybe.
All right.
And I'm not telling whose story belongs to
whom. You're not
going to
give us a flow chart of...
No, and I'm definitely going to say over and over that mm-hmm. don't draw conclusions about people because they told a story in first person. It may not come from their life.
Right. Well, what has happened to them in this process between working with your material and being directed by Alicia to...
Well, what I'm getting is they're getting much more comfortable with this mm-hmm. thing. The difference between acting in a play and telling a story is there's no fourth wall. You know, you're talking directly to the audience in storytelling, and some of them haven't done much of that, and they're getting very comfortable with that, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's no musing of to be or not to be. They actually have.
you're talking right out there.
Right.
The audience is brought into the circle.
Right.
And they're... These are very experienced actors, and they come from all over Acadiana. I mean, Carmen Nicholson's from New Iberia. Sally Hamana's from Abbeville. Pat Cravens is from Opelousas.
So Maureen Brennan.
Maureen Brennan is here in Lafayette. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amanda Newbery is here in Lafayette, and so is Laura Bloom. But we've brought in people with a whole range. Some people have done musicals, some people have directed, some people haven't, and some have done very little, some have done it for decades.
And they all have their own professional lives as well, in addition to the acting that they've done in theater. Now, what I'm interested in, too, is the response you've gotten from other people who hear that you're doing this play. Mm-hmm. All the actresses over 60, stories mm-hmm. about women, baby boomers over 60. What has been the response from other people?
Well, one of the big surprises to me, I was dead sure when I started this that millennials would, you know, look at me and yawn and run the other way. Mm-hmm. Almost across the board, millennials are tremendously interested and more excited about it than I am. I mean, some of the ones I've
worked with. At last, a guidebook.
You know, it's sort of like, oh, wow, this is stuff I haven't heard.
Yeah, and, even down to my high school students, I told them about it. Like, wait, when is that happening? Do they have student tickets? And they're like, these are 17, 18-year-olds.
Very interested.
I think because there isn't a lot out mm-hmm, there on mm-hmm. stages about this. And, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes about older women. And, of course, part of my purpose is to blow that up. which I think I've succeeded at. Mm-hmm. And so it's intriguing. So I've been surprised at the level mm-hmm. of interest from younger people. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who are in this age range are saying, oh, my gosh, something for us. Right. One of the things that got me going on this was back when we did the other piece 5 years ago, a number of people came up to me after those performances and said, finally, something about people like me. And that's been percolating in the back of my brain for 5 years. Till I could do this.
Well, and again, kudos to this residency program that allow those voices to be heard that might not otherwise be heard. Yeah. But, you know, hearing you say that your students are interested and that younger people are very interested, you know, often hear in conversation when you're talking about the process of getting older, things happening to you, that there's not a guidebook to that. You know, that people talk so much about, marriage, having children, the things that happen mm-hmm. earlier in your life, and you think you know about that part. But it's the other part that a lot of people are very curious about. And what do you do? And how do you respond? And what can you expect? And so you're really filling a wonderful part in the theatrical community offering that to us all.
Well, and I also facilitate a workshop in conscious aging. That's one mm-hmm, of the things I do mm-hmm. professionally. And so I've gained insight doing that, too, about into the ways in which older life is the richest. Everything is better except for the body.
And you promised that we're going to hear more about that
on stage.
You'll
hear a little bit about the body. Yeah. But it's not all complaints about the body, and that's most of what gets out there. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. heard about arthritis, but what have you heard about wisdom?
Yeah. And all in just this wonderful, exuberant, sassy way. Mm-hmm. And just the title.
Absolutely sassy.
Yeah. Not there is definitely sass. Yeah.
Again, a reminder of this performance. The title is Still Life, Women of the Bold, New, Old with Tales to Tell. And there are 7 performers, including yourself, mm-hmm. telling these tales, directed by my other guest, Alicia Chasson, who is obviously doing a masterful job in gathering all of these stories and these actresses. And we will get to hear them this weekend. The residency program happens this weekend. How many performances?
There's 3 performances, mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening, 7:30 each day at Acadiana Center for the Arts.
And that will be in the main auditorium?
In the main theater there, yeah.
All right. Wonderful sound in that auditorium. Mm-hmm. So what about costuming, set design? You mentioned there's going to be some multimedia. Does everybody get to wear their own clothes, or did you have some say in that as the director?
We definitely made a conscious choice about it. And so they're all sort of wearing their actor black since they're telling different stories.
Okay.
So we didn't want to
assign personality.
Yeah, they are themselves, but they're also playing like a version of themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're in black, but then they each have a colorful scarf or sweater or something to go along with that to bring their own self into it as well. Mm-hmm. And then we do have the big projection screen is up, and we'll have images and words up there just to help you sort of like orient and navigate what's going on. There isn't much of a set in terms of like platforms or a house or anything like mm-hmm. that, but we've just incorporated some like expanded on the idea of the storytelling motif to fill the space. So it's not just someone standing at a microphone.
Right. I love that you called it Actor Black. I don't think I ever really knew that.
Oh, yes. That's the official term. Yes, Actor Black.
Actor Black. What color are you wearing with your Actor Black, Patricia?
It's a multicolor, actually.
All right. So, well, since you are the creator of this production.
A little of this, a little of that.
What has made you the happiest or the most excited about this performance?
Oh, this is easy.
Okay.
One of the biggest thrills I have ever had is the first time I heard a good actor speaking words I wrote, and suddenly it has a life outside of me. It took my breath away.
And you never get tired of that.
It's just, and it's not ego. Mm-hmm, it's not pride. It's, oh my God, I put that down all by myself with my, you know, my laptop in silence. And now here we are weeks later, and the thing is alive and three-dimensional. And how did that happen? It's just plain
That's the magic.
Glorious.
It's the magic of the stage.
Yeah,
isn't
and
it is.
It stops being me. So it's just, wow, something exists in the world that I helped give birth to, and this other person took it the rest of the way.
That's right. But you will be participating as well.
Oh,
you
are one. Oh, yeah. I'm one of the actors.
Yeah, the actress in black on stage.
Yes, I am.
And I know you've got quite a piece with great import. I don't want you to give it all away, but I think you have.
You notice I'm giving none of it away.
Yes, I know that. I know that. But I guess maybe we should just say that you really will have almost an epic piece in here, where you, I guess, you kind of a manifesto of.
Yeah, I did write myself a long monologue.
Okay.
and it's one of those I didn't censor it. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this.
All right. Well, we're going to look forward to
and
that.
And it's a lot of. It comes out of my personal experience. It's not a story from my life, but it's developed from my experience.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. My guest, Patricia Drury Sidman, has created this piece called Still Life, Women of the Bold New Old with Tales to Tell. It is being performed thanks to the residency program at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. The seven actresses are being directed by Alicia Chasson, and it will run for three performances this weekend at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Thank you both.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Judith.